From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk words. Let's talk French words. Les mots français. Sometimes we turn to French when we want to feel a little fancy, and sometimes we get ourselves in a bit of trouble. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors, Kathy Petras and Ross Petras.
Bonjour, Kathy. Bonjour, Ross. We're going to talk French today, right? A little bit of French.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
Hola.
Maybe some Spanish if it creeps in there. This will be fun. But before we do that, we need to take care of still some business from the year that's left us and maybe leave some words behind, too. There are words that just need to be left in the past in 2025.
Well put, Fletcher.
And we're going to do, would it be mot banni? Well, I guess it would be banished words in French. I don't know.
Okay,
then we're going to do the 2025 banished words list. Every year, Lake Superior State University, they go through, they basically pick 10 words that they feel should be banished from the English language, from the Queen's English for, quote, misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. So here we go.
I just want to interject. These are they pick them from submissions. This is not like they go through stuff. These are, again, people writing in and voting and saying, get these words out, please.
Mm-hmm.
The first word they picked was cringe. Okay, I'm going to interject. Ross and I were not thrilled with a lot of these words. That's all. I'm going to start with that.
We were not thrilled with them getting rid of them. Is that that? Yeah. Or we were not thrilled with them at all, Kathy? Let's be clear about it.
I don't think they were great choices. I mean, I agree with getting rid of them, but they seem sort of you know?
Yeah, cringe didn't seem like a big deal to us, particularly, getting rid of it or not, you know?
I'm surprised. If you'd asked me, I would have said that was on their list last year and probably the year before. It's fine. It's here. People are using it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have cringe. Next one was game changer.
Wow. This year?
That
No. The game changer, when it really came up was in 2024 when Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race. Well, when he had the bad debate.
Yeah.
When he had the bad debate and then dropped out of the presidential race. That was the game changer. Mm-hmm. That's when that was really around. That wasn't really around even this year. I mean, I realize we're not choosing words of the year, but why leave that in the past? Why leave that in the past? Period.
They're saying it's as tired as the well-worn as a well-worn cliche.
Nah.
It's only used now to describe anything remotely innovative. Do I love the term? No. Does it really rankle me? Not really.
It doesn't seem that bad to me. I could see using it too. That's a real game changer, Kath. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see it easily.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with it at all. Next word is era, which, well, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, Taylor Swift era is over, you know, that sort of thing.
You know what's happening? You know what this feels like? This feels like all of the words of the year of 2024 coming back, and they're saying we should just get rid of them, probably because they were used a lot in 2025 for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Era also doesn't seem so massively pervasive that we should get rid of it. I'm kind of with you guys on these. Let's just run through them, because I'll bet we're going to have sort of similar feelings about most of them.
Well, dropped.
Next one is a good one, I think.
Dropped.
Wait.
Yeah.
Good as in it's a good word. It's a good word, not a good word to get rid
of. I think it's good that they want to get rid of it.
Oh, really?
This one I agree with. Everything's being dropped. I hate that. You know, like I dropped my video this morning. I dropped my book. I find it really irritating.
It doesn't really bother me that much. Even that one does.
I hate it.
This one I'm not wild about. If you know, you know. I-W-K-Y-K.
I mean, It's fine.
Internet slang. Again, it's like, that's internet slang. It's
these
fine.
Seem so old to me.
I know. They yeah. do.
Well, I mean, that's probably part of why they want to get rid of them, because they've been around and maybe people are using them way too much now. I don't really see that. Or maybe I'm so used to them that they don't really bother me that much when I do see them. I'm going to just back up quickly and slightly agree with you on dropped. I don't think you should drop your book, but I think it's just fine if you're talking about dropping a record. I think it's fine.
Okay. But yeah. I just feel like people use it to sound cool. You
oh,
know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
And that bothers me.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah
that's that, all. That'll work itself out. It'll be fine.
Okay. What about okay. sorry, not sorry?
Also something that feels like it's kind of, it's not used as much as it used to be. And
no,
I may
it's
not
old.
Be, yeah. I may not be, you know, running in the same circles or looking at the same things, but I don't see sorry, not sorry much at all anymore.
No, I don't either.
No, it's like in the old days, you'd see not. Remember all
yeah.
the time?
Yeah.
People like not.
Uh-huh.
That's what sorry, not sorry seems like to
yeah.
me. I don't know. Next, I detest this word, but I don't see it at all anymore. Skibbity.
Skibbity is gone.
Skibbity is only brought up now when people are talking about words like 6-7. When,
yeah,
when we're talking
exactly.
about what's a previous example of this sort of thing that nobody uses anymore? Oh, skibbity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time
mm-hmm.
anybody talks
yeah.
about skibbity anymore. So it is banished.
It's already banished
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah.
Okay, what about this one? 100%. 100% disagree with you, Fletcher. That doesn't bother me either.
No, we've talked about that before, and I use it all the time, and I will continue to do
yeah.
so.
Yeah. Mm. And this person's going, since when should a percentage be used to describe your agreement? If I said I 82% agreement with you, Fletcher, that's ridiculous.
I have
100%.
We've had this exact conversation
yes.
before.
And yes,
I
want,
exactly. I was just going to say
yeah,
that.
I want
yeah.
to repeat that I do use percentages to talk about things. I'll say something like, I'm 72% sure on that. And I mean, I was just saying that today.
I was saying I was, and the problem is I correct myself. I said, I think I'm about
85%.
Oh, I know.
No,
82%. I do that too. That one I don't do.
Oh, it's
and
the
that
worst.
Reminds me of years ago with when Star Trek with Spock. And Spock would go, there's an 83% chance of
uh-huh.
this occurring or whatever. And even then, it bothered me as a kid. I was like, how does he know it's 83%? I was watching a rerun and they were talking about the odds of them like taking over something from the Klingons. And he's going like, well, the odds would be, to be precise, 64.8. It's like, how do you know that? It bothered me then and it bothers
me now.
That's why
I live my life that way, Ross.
Well, you know, we talked last week a little bit about vibes. And you know what? Sometimes the vibes on 85% aren't right, and you need to lower it a little to 82%. That feels
okay.
more right, okay?
Exactly.
Well, the
or
two of you.
83.4.
I think you're both 100% wrong to use 82%.
I love it.
Okay, let's go through the other two quickly. Yeah.
The next one is like, always appears utilize versus
hate
use.
It. Hate
and
it.
That's like,
I'm on
okay,
board
fine.
With this. Banish that one. Get it out of here.
Me too.
Forever.
And finally, the word is period.
Okay.
When people say blah, 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 period.
I mean.
I don't have a problem with that.
That's been going on for, I mean, go back and find me the first instance of somebody using the word period in that way. It's probably a long time mm-hmm. ago. This is not new.
I don't like full stop, actually,
oh, yeah.
though. That I do not like, because that to me is a fake Britishism. I don't care for full stop,
mm-hmm.
but I don't mind period.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, it's so old. Utilize is the one out of that list that I would banish.
I agree.
Me too. I'm with you. So let us move on.
We got a listener email, right?
It was an email from Cindy, and the email was entitled, which I adore, Le Pet Peeves.
Oui. Mm-hmm.
Ross lives in Canada, so he also knows his French. I do not. She said, if the title of this email swirled your brain a bit, you may share my pet peeve. When people assign the incorrect word for the or slap French and English words together, assumably in an attempt to be fancy. And you know, fanciness is my big pet peeve.
Oh, yes.
So I was all over this.
You know, I just typed pet peeve into the Google Translate to see what it came up with in French, and they gave me bête noir. Do you think that's right? I don't think that's really right.
Ooh.
I think bête noir is a little stronger than that, isn't it?
Yeah, bête noir
I would
think so. Is like... Oof, pet peeve is like, you know?
Yeah. Although they're saying, looking at a dictionary here, they're saying it's something extremely annoying.
Nah, I mean, a pet peeve is...
seems, not extremely annoying, just sort of annoying.
A pet peeve is having a piece of cat litter in your shoe. a bete noir is like losing your foot, isn't it?
Yeah. On that scale, I think so. I agree with you.
Okay, so now Cindy said she's a French teacher. She said, I'm most definitely not referring to honest mistakes. It more specifically involves businesses with posted names that are just plain wrong. For example, Le Montagne or La Petite Chateau or La Pen and Papier. And she goes on in this vein. I'm going to just cut it out. She's like, you know, come on, people. And then she also said that she proofread this thing three times because she didn't want to catch herself. Anyway, and we understand this because I understand this impulse to want to be fancy French people. Uh-huh. But, you know, if you're doing it, she's right. Look it up, she said. So Ross replied to her, because Ross is the French boy in our duo.
More Latin and Greek, but whatever, yeah.
Well, Frencher than I.
Yeah. But I looked up La Chateau. I was actually sort of curious about it, because she had mentioned La Petite Chateau. So I looked up La Chateau, and there were a lot of La Chateaus. It was the weirdest thing.
Hmm.
I did not expect it.
Why?
It was an advertised on Facebook, an ad at a bookstore.
And so for people who don't know any French whatsoever, the issue here is that it shouldn't be La, right?
It should be Le Chateau.
Right, L-E instead of L-A, because it's a masculine.
Right, it should be Le Chateau. And this is all over the place. I kept looking and looking, and I could not find, I mean, found many, many cases of this. And I sort of agree with her. I think if you're going to do the language, and particularly if you want to sound, you know, like au courant with your French, I think you should at least know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty basic.
Think, you know?
I got to say, though, now, I mean, this is just me being a person, not like a business, but I had that, remember, Ross, I had the grill. We called it Le Petit Grill.
Oh, yeah.
My husband and I had that. It was this like little tiny, tiny grill that we used to like put outside and grill on. And I remember someone, I forget who it was, said it should be, it's either La Petite Grille without an E or Le Petite Grille with an E. Because I think I had La Petite Grille with an E. I don't remember what I had.
Well, you should have La Grille. Grille would be with I-L-L-E. It would be La.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I had it as Le with the grill with an E because it looked very French. And I was corrected.
But that's just your little grill, right?
It was a little grill.
But in that case, I think you're playing with it.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not advertising it. You're just making a fun sort of thing and it sounds sort of cool. I think that to me is perfectly fine. I would have no objection to
that.
I think if you're advertising, like, you know, you're doing a run of like, you know, grills for sale, I would advise you to try to be more correct. That's what I would think.
Yeah.
If I were opening a restaurant of grilled French meats.
Yeah. Then I would call it, you know, La Petite Grille. Yeah. We should actually move to the food one immediately. Let's go to that one here. We have another food one, Fletcher, which is Maitre d'.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, we should say what we're talking about, though, Ross.
Okay, we're doing two sets of French. One of them was fake French, phrases the French don't use, but Americans do.
Mm.
And we're going to do one right here, which is maitre d'.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean in French, Fletcher?
Master of ...
Right. What does it mean in English?
It's the guy who runs the front of the house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, to the French, that would be really weird what we're saying here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do they have a word for that? Or is there someone who fills that same duty in a French restaurant?
I think it's chef de salle.
Okay. That makes sense.
Which is the head of the room.
Yeah.
Or then they also say the guy responsible. They could also say.
I like chef de salle. Yeah, chef de salle sounds very nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I wish I had a French accent. Every time I go to Paris, everybody like looks at me and thinks, "Oh, you poor little
thing." I know.
You're very friendly. You know?
All I know is I was at the train station. We're taking the train from Paris to Lyon or something. And so I was like asking questions about like what's the time and all that. And the guy, you know, like, you know, back and forth. So the guy goes, "You speak very good French." And the guy next to him rolls his eyes and goes, "Speaking." They were nice about it, but I don't have a good pronunciation. I know.
Like
it was really
that.
Annoying.
Yeah, so maitre d', you would never say maitre d' in France.
I don't know. I don't think I wouldn't. But, I mean, you know, maybe they, at this point, maybe they do say it. And the other one that really got, Kathy and I both had this with our mom, which is au jus.
Oh, boy.
A-U, and then new word, J-U-S.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Okay, what does that mean, Fletcher? Well,
with the juice.
Right.
And so this is like you get your French dip sandwich and it comes with au jus, right?
Oh, we have talked about this in the past. That's the case.
Well, the fact that they sell jars of au jus now in an American supermarket. So,
I know.
Okay.
So this one bothers me, but I get it. Like the American thing has just become, you know, in brackets, au jus. Like that's the thing. It's this stuff is called au jus, even though we know, and like I said, it bothers me, but we know that that au doesn't need to be there in a lot of cases. I mean, say it's with the jus.
Yeah. Right.
But it's become really, but I think Fletcher's correct. It's really become an English word.
Yes.
Au jus means like, you know, French type of gravy or something, or just gravy. Yeah.
Like I saw that thing. There was an ad. It was French dip sandwich with au jus and horseradish herb.
Yeah.
Butter.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Yay. I got the au jus. Yeah.
And I instantly hear it now as, you know, and I, in a weird way, I think I might even, not thinking about it, say with au jus. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I really would, but I could.
Well, I think
see
now,
myself.
I don't know. That seems odd now, doesn't it, though, to say with jus?
No, I never would say with jus. Yeah, and I would say with gravy.
It gets very complicated, doesn't
it? I know. Here's another one, Fletcher. A la mode.
Uh-huh.
What does this mean in French, and what does it mean in English?
So in French, I think it means something like in the fashion.
In the style.
In the style.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the better definition is the American one, which means with ice cream.
You bet.
Yes. We win.
I know. And I instantly think of a la mode as instantly I see in my head like a scoop of delicious vanilla ice cream on top of
absolutely.
A pie.
Absolutely.
I do.
It's always on a pie, isn't
yep.
it? It's
I like, see it
me,
that
it's
way.
It's always a pie.
Well, so how did the American in the style become with ice cream and always with ice cream? Like we love ice cream, that's for sure. But why is that always the style, I wonder?
Well, this is sort of interesting because we looked it up and it's apparently with ice cream comes very recent in relative terms from 1903 in American English. But I can't really figure out how we got it.
Mm-hmm.
You saw this one guy, this one professor. Did you see that, Ruiz?
You go on. Yeah, you tell it, Kath. That's good. Okay.
It was the Cambridge Hotel. It's attributed to him, so who knows? This could be bogus. But this guy, Charles Watson Townsend, dubbed his favorite pie and ice cream a la mode. He regularly ordered apple pie with ice cream at this hotel, and someone said, "What is it?" He said, "Oh, this is the pie a la mode." Does this sound bogus? It sounds kind of like, I don't know.
It sounds like
but
one
I
of those.
Like it.
Yeah, I like it too, but it doesn't sound, to me, it sounds fake to me. It sounds like one of those ex post facto things that we're going to do.
It says then like that Delmonico, this is all New York. I mean, you know,
yeah,
so who
of
knows?
Course. Yeah.
That like then the manager added it because they thought it sounded classy. And then that
I believe.
Was that.
Yeah. That I believe.
That the classy part, I believe. I think that to me is probably the most logical. You take it like we're talking about au jus. I know we talked about basically the etymology of au jus becoming into English is, you know, that. I think it has the same sort of thing. It's French. It sounds cool. You know, let's do it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Okay. It says Cambridge. I looked at Wikipedia, which we all can trust.
These days,
and
yes.
It says Cambridge. This is like Cambridge, Washington County, New York. Yeah. Same thing. That guy ordered it, said it was pie a la mode, blah, 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 blah. This is what they say. Where'd this come from? He went to Delmonico's and said, oh, it's from some book, A History of Apple Pie. I don't know. I don't trust these things.
I'm not wild about it. Okay, we're going to do now French words that we mispronounce all the time.
Yes.
Or do we mispronounce them? Okay, the first word is, you could write it down, Fletcher, F-O-Y-E-R.
F-O-Y-E-R.
We have discussed this before.
Oh, but you know, that was one of the very first things we ever talked about on this show, but more than, almost 8 years ago now.
Yeah. So do you remember what you prefer?
I know what I prefer, and I know what everyone else prefers. I don't completely remember what you guys said, but okay, so I actually do say foyer.
Okay.
And people don't really look at me that strange when I do. Most everybody else says foyer, and that's fine with me. I'm going to assume that that's the more accepted English pronunciation anyway, is foyer. But I'm okay with either one.
Well, apparently, there's some debate. Apparently, Canadian and British English prefers your method.
Mm-hmm.
American English prefers foyer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a lot of spillover. I'm not bothered by either pronunciation.
I hate foyer. I'm sorry. I love you, Fletcher, but I detest foyer.
Oh, really? maybe because
I hate it.
Maybe because of here with so much French Canadian, it doesn't bother me at all. So I would either one. I'm gonna either one of those.
Does it sound excessively fancy to you, Kathy?
Absolutely. You know me. Yeah. No, totally. Although, interestingly enough, foyer, as Ross said, was much more American versus Canadian, and British was foyer. There's a flip now back to foyer in the United States as well. So apparently people think it sounds like, you know,
I have some pull. I have some pull. That's what's going on.
So, Kathy, how about you're selling your real estate broker, you're selling a multi-million-dollar house. Now
foyer.
You walk to the room, and then do you go,
here's the
foyer? Here's the
very lovely foyer.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, look at that. Now
we know your real estate career is
Jordan.
Going down the tubes.
Yep, yeah.
Okay, we've done this one too, Fletcher. Let's look at this. COUP, new word.
Oh, yes.
DE, and I'm spelling it out for anyway so everyone else can hear it. And then GRACE.
Right. Oh, I love this.
Why don't you define it and then pronounce it?
So, okay. Well, I'm going to pronounce it first because otherwise I can't really talk about it. It's coup de grace. And that is like the final blow, basically. The one that, you know, I don't know, cuts the guy's head off or something.
Final countdown. Sorry.
Right.
It is not, however, a coup de grace, which I think I learned from you would be a dollop of fat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It would be G-R-A-S, would be pronounced gras, which is
right,
fat.
Right.
Right. So, that's very good, Fletcher. I'm proud of you on that.
Thank you.
That is a very, very common mispronunciation.
Yeah,
we've heard that everywhere.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones, though, we've talked about before, where doing it properly can get you corrected by those who think you're doing it improperly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Because coup de grace does sound better than coup de grâce. Doesn't it? It sounds more French to like those who, like me, who are unenlightened.
That's why people do it, of course, because it sounds quote-unquote more French. Because we're used to the idea of dropping the last sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We automatically think, it's like our mom would do that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Ross, I was thinking of mom.
I know. And she would always go, vichy schwa, like that, right, which is wrong.
Oh, mom. Okay, this is a mispronunciation. This is a one that's misspelled and mispronounced.
Oh, okay. Well, Kathy has typed this in and it has just popped up on my screen. Voila! There it is. And that's how I would say it, is voila. V-O-I-L-A. Voila. I can imagine all sorts of ways it might be misspelled, but I don't really see it misspelled that much.
Uh-huh.
Tell me.
Oh, God. This is one of my, like, the hills I will die upon. It's problematic. I call it problematic French spelling. And it's like people hear voila. And
voila.
Because they're trying to sound really French. Voila.
Uh-huh.
And they spell it W-A-L-L-A-H.
Oh, no.
W-A-L-L-A. Yes. Yes.
I know.
This is one of those things. You know, I get cranky about stuff. And this is one of the ones that gets me very cranky.
I don't know if I've ever seen that before. If I've seen that, I was so confused about what the person could have meant that I didn't even connect it.
I think it's because I belong to a lot of decorating groups because I love decorating. I mean, I don't do it, but I just like looking at pictures and stuff. And let me tell you, they go like, ooh, this started out beige. Now, voila. And it's like W-A-L-L-A or W-H-A-L-A or whatever.
Huh. That's terrible. I'm so sorry you have to see that.
It's very difficult. I've also seen voila spelled viola. as in the instrument.
Viola.
It's like viola.
That's a weird one. But that viola, one sort of got me, right? Because there's a, well, I'm not sure they have it in the States, but there's voila, which delivers food for you, and they have trucks that go around.
Oh, funny.
And it's called voila. And Kathy kept mentioning how voila is misspelled as viola. And now I read, the other day my wife and I were sick. So she said, let's just order food in. And she said, I'm going to call voila. And then I saw the viola truck come up to our house. And I thought, what am I doing? And I said, the viola truck. She goes, what are you talking about? And like, you know.
We have Glovo here. Glovo. G-L-O-V-O, which is not anything. So.
Okay, let's go for a couple more.
This one got me because, Ross, you corrected me on this. This is one of those Frenchisms that Americans think is French and French apparently don't use. I had done this when we were writing a book, and I put it in as a joke, sacre bleu. And Ross said, what did you do that for? I said, because it's French. He's like, no one uses that.
Yeah, no, it's
France.
An old.
Oh.
It's an
like,
old.
They do in Agatha Christie.
That's at least the way we ignorant Americans pretend to be French, right?
Yeah.
Mon Dieu,
but I mean, we also do that.
Bleu.
I know. Do you know what comes from Fletcher? Do you know the origin, Fletcher, or not?
Does it have something to do with painting?
No. It's like bleu and Dieu rhyme.
Oh, really?
So you would say sacred God.
Sacre Dieu.
Oh, God, or something like that. But that was considered in those days sort of taboo.
Oh,
so you would say,
sacre bleu.
You know, it's like we do that all the time. Darn it. You know, darn it in English or whatever.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Yeah. Sacre Dieu would be, you know, but no one ever says that, apparently. I mean, it's... Or zoot allure, we also have that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I know. It's like Ross is always like, really?
Although, do you remember, Kathy, years ago, speaking of like mispronouncing or misusing pronouns or nouns and articles, do you remember Le Bleu et Bleu?
Yeah, see? Le Bleu et Bleu.
That's completely bad French. That Kathy, your friends said that all the time.
No, I said it all the time.
You said it?
I
thought a friend made it up.
No, I made it
up. No,
my friend who made it, it was Matthew, made up the ferme la bouche, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
Oh, what?
But Kathy kept saying, les bleus et
les
bleus,
bleu,
which is,
et bleu.
Which is not correct, but it was always fun to say.
It cool.
I still have it in my head all the time now.
I had forgotten it until now.
I don't even know what's going on. You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.